Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. For those of you who are coming on board with us over the airways today, I want you to know that we have been in a study of the Gospel of John for almost a year. We're now in the 12th chapter of this book. The purpose of the study is not so much to give you some of the great themes of this significant gospel, although that is part of it, but it is to acquaint you with the wholeness of God through Christ in Revelation through the Apostle John. Today we're going to go into the 12th chapter where we have the Bethany anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ a week prior to his crucifixion. But before I read this text to you, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you'll open the scriptures to us as you did to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's our text for today. It's too beautiful not to read it. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then says one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? By the way, that's a year's wage. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then, says Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept us. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Now let me first give you the background to this anointing before we get into the anointing itself. They will help us to better understand what Jesus wants us to see. The raising of Lazarus from the dead was the final event that led the Pharisees to decide that Jesus had to be killed. After this event, there was no more questioning of our Lord Jesus. There was no more examination. The stage was set to get him killed. We find this in the preceding chapter, verse 53, which says, "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." Jesus was now to the Pharisees like a hunted wild dog. The resurrection from the dead of Lazarus was the final straw, because now they knew that the whole world would run after Jesus, and there would be no one left for them to instruct, to teach, and to influence unless they killed Jesus. I'm going to read the next verse, the 54th verse, to you, because we need that. It says there that Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near the wilderness, into a country called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. So Jesus, knowing that they were ready to apprehend him and kill him, he then went into hiding in a little village called Ephraim, about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. The reason why Jesus went to this place called Ephraim is not because he was afraid of death. You see, Jesus came to suffer and to die. Death was his agenda. He came to be the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. So his escape to Ephraim was not an escape from death, but rather it was an escape from the wrong timing. Because you see, at this point, at the resurrection of Lazarus, it was January. And there was only one day in the year exactly on which Jesus could die. One out of 365 days, and that was the day of the Passover. All the Passovers, from the first one in Egypt onward to this year, were pointing to the final legitimate Passover on which Jesus, as the Lamb of God, would be sacrificed for all mankind. Hence, Jesus had to hide from the Pharisees, And then he had to resurface just in time to be killed on that Passover day, because he himself became the final Passover by which we would pass over from death to life, from a life of sin to a life of holiness, from a life of despair to a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is why he went to Ephraim. And I like the way King James Bible puts it, because it says there, at Ephraim, he continued with his disciples. He had a death sentence on him, but he continued with his disciples just the same. He continued ministering anyhow. My friends, when the dark clouds of disappointment and storms and trials and troubles come your way, are you going to continue with your disciples? Are you going to continue to minister as if nothing would ever happen? Or are you going to get under some juniper tree in discouragement? Are you going to let yourself get into depression? And are you going to get into self-pity, taking time out of ministering? Jesus continued with his disciples at Ephraim with a death sentence hanging over him. I say hallelujah. Now, according to John, we're moving from January right into March. Jesus is now resurfacing in the Jerusalem area in a little village called Bethany, which is only a short walk from Jerusalem, a week before the Passover. Now he was getting ready to face the cross. His time was coming. And this gets us into the text which I read to you. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there he made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, why Bethany? I've been in Bethany, I would say, about 10 times. I've been in Israel 18 times. And Bethany is my favorite place in all of Israel. It's a place of sweetness. It's a place of love. It's a place of beauty. It's a place of rest and of beautiful memories. You see, Bethany was the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Whenever Jesus was in the south, in the Jerusalem area, he would spend his time, he lodged in the house of Lazarus in Bethany. And here we find Jesus in another home in Bethany, and that is in the home of Simon the leper. We're not getting this from the Gospel of John, but we're getting it from the Gospel of Matthew. If you want to get all the facts about certain events, you want to read all the Gospels. Matthew 26 tells us that this anointing of Jesus by Mary took place in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. I want to bring to you two particular points yet today. The one is that this whole story of Bethany is a story of beautiful intimacy. Being in this gospel now for about a year, a new window is presenting itself to us. And of course it was there all the time, but we're just beginning to discover it now. And this is the window that John betrays Jesus as a man of great intimacy with God and with people. He shows us Jesus as touching people, as loving people, as conversing with people, as eating with people, as fellowshipping with people, as no other gospel writer does. You find this intimacy already in the first chapter of John, because the gospel begins with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God." Jesus was with God. He had this great intimacy with his Father. It comes right out there in the very beginning of the gospel. Then we just go to the second chapter of John, and we see this beautiful intimacy of Jesus, him wanting to be intimate with people, with families, by reading the story of the wedding at Cana. We see Jesus coming to a wedding, mingling with the people and fellowshipping with them at this event. Then we go on to the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and here we have Jesus' intimacy and conversation with Nicodemus, the great Jewish leader. Then in the fourth chapter, Jesus' intimacy, spiritual intimacy with a sinner, a Samaritan woman, and bringing her to the light of truth. And so it goes on and on. And one of my favorite passages of intimacy is in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, where we read about the Last Supper, and it says, one of the disciples was leaning on Jesus' breast. Oh, what a beautiful picture this is. And then we have the great teachings of our Lord on intimacy when he gives us the 15th chapter. He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Finally, in the last chapter of John, there's this beautiful intimacy of Jesus with his chief apostle, Peter, and he looks at Peter and he lovingly asks him three times, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? So today we're in this beautiful story in Bethany, this lovely home setting, Jesus sitting at the table, and he sits between two trophies. I said to you, he sits between two great trophies 6 days before his crucifixion. And one trophy is called Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And the other, my friend, is Simon the leper, whom he delivered from leprosy. And while Martha is busy moving around with a silver platter serving the food, we find this deepest of all intimacies, perhaps in a way in all of the Gospels, between man and Jesus, as Mary is anointing the feet of Jesus with oil and then wiping his feet with her hair, and the house being filled with the odor of this precious ointment. What a glorious picture of love and devotion this is. And this all takes place in the shadow of the cross, just a week before our Lord Jesus would pour out his life, where he pour out his life blood on Calvary's tree for the sins of all mankind. Friend, God wants you to have intimacy with the Lord Jesus, as Jesus had it with his Father, and as Jesus had it with the people, and especially with his believers. God wants for us to live our lives out in the Bethany Christian fellowship intimacy. He wants to be part of every aspect of our lives, whether it is weddings, whether, my friend, it is meals, the conversations at meals, whether, my friend, it is in sports or any kind of entertainment. My friend, Jesus is looking for intimacy with you all the time. And shouldn't you look for intimacy with him all the time, every moment of your life? Anything less than that is not true Christianity, but it's just pretending. So in conclusion, today we learn that, among other things, Christianity is intimacy, deep intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's point two, isn't it? I got a little mixed up here. Point one is that even though when we are in the storms of life, even though when we are overshadowed by sorrow and death, even though the negatives keep piling up around us, we must and can, by the grace of God, as Jesus did, continue to minister to people. Father, we thank thee for the word you've given us today, in Jesus' name. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now, until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.